Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. Everything that we do can work to benefit and bless the kingdom of God. If all of our choices were made according to God's heart, God can cause us to do things that we normally wouldn't be able to do. He's going to help us. We're not alone. We're not without His help. When I talk about following God, a greater meaning came to me yesterday. It's living in perfect agreement with Him. If we can agree with Him, we can do so much more. Our power is not in our might or strength. It's in His strength. He's with us. Whatever we don't have, He can compensate. But first, we have to have that foundation. We have to be in agreement. You know, how can two walk together except they be in agreement? We have to follow Him. He knows what to do. Jesus said, if you're bearing fruit, I've heard you, so you can bear more fruit. Okay, now that's a blessing for us. But it also shows us that we can do our best, but His best is better. When you're in agreement with God, following Him, He's guiding you, you have to focus on Him. You know, horses used to be... especially donkeys, you know, you have to put blinders on so they won't get distracted. That keeps that focus ahead. Because horses their eyes can work independent, and they can look down the shaft of the side of their body. And they are, they're herbivores, you know. And they're looking for predators all the time. So when people wanted their horses to not be distracted, they put blinders on their eyes that caused their focus to be straight. Now predators, they look straight ahead. Their eyes work in sequence. Our eyes don't work independently like a horse. Bears, lions, dogs, cats, they're predators, so they look straight ahead. They're looking for the prey. And horses, cows, sheep, you know, they can look, and their eyes work independently. So, but the point being is that if we look at Christ, we won't be distracted by all the other illusions out there. In order to focus on Christ, we don't have blinders on. But if we can trust God enough to do whatever He say when He says it, we can perform greater works. God can trust us to do greater miracles through us because we know that it's Him and not us. And we don't do anything to gain glory for ourselves. We keep the glory on God. We keep watching Him. And we do it with the right attitude. If you're handling the things of God, something amazing is going to happen. And you just have to be mature enough not to get in pride, because pride changes everything. You know, last week, the Lord helped me give a, he did it through me. I didn't even know I was going to go to Isaiah chapter 8. And He had me to do a line by line teaching on chapter 8, which fit everything. You know, Israel forsook the waters that go softly, and they wanted the rougher waters. And then they ended up with rivers that overflowed, which is their idolatry caused them to be vulnerable to a satanic attack. And the king of Assyria came and took their land and possessions and drove them out of their land into captivity. All the northern kingdom. So, and then later on, here comes Nebuchadnezzar and took Judah, the stronghold. we have to, in order for Satan to win against us, we have to get in idolatry. We have to fall. We have to be what God didn't intend us to be. Because the church is too mighty for him. Even a weak church is a thorn in the side. So if a church is very mighty, he has to wait. He can't handle a child of God that know who he is in Christ. Now, since he can't beat you that way, he'll try to get you in pride because he can smell pride from far away. When people get in pride, you know, Satan's the one who tempt people with pride. So if a person fall for it, he can do a lot of damage from within the body of Christ. But God is raising up people to give his people dear intelligence. And the reason I said dear intelligence, because this intelligence is precious to us. And he's raising up people that know the interest. Here I am talking about things that I couldn't possibly talk about on my own. The Lord trained me to this point. And he showed me things that cause people to fall. People fall just like the parable of the sower describes. Some people fall because they won't let the word in to get a good understanding. They would probably fall in love with God if they would soften their heart and hear. But they don't give the word a chance, so all they're going on is what they know, and they never get in. And then there are those who come into the kingdom of God, but that they have so many stones in their heart, the word can't take root. They've taken positions of deception that hinder them. And the word can't take root in them. And they last a while and draw away. So if the word can't take root, then, and I've seen so many wonderful Christians, they love God, they rejoice. But it's time something happens, it's like they lose it. Well, there's no substitute for the word getting in our heart. You know, you see, the Lord put everything in order. He showed us what to watch out for in the beginning. A stony heart, all you have to do to fix it is to keep hearing the word and drive out those stony Philistines. In other words, just like when God's people took Canaan's land, when God gave them Canaan land, he gave the Hebrews Canaan land after the exodus of Egypt, but they were supposed to drive out all the Canaanites. Well, some of the Canaanites fled. Some of them hung around. The Philistines didn't go anywhere. And they didn't finish driving them out. And they should have. You have to drive them out. In other words, everything that can rise up and cause and work against God in your life, you got to drive it out. That's your responsibility. Then the word can take roots and you'll be stronger. You can be persuaded by God and not the world. You know, sometimes Christians have a hard time. They fear what other people in the world think. And they try to hide the light. Well, we need more word in our heart. One time, you know, I guess a year or two ago, the Lord said, you need to be more frank with people. And I started working on it. Now, I understand things can challenge you and all this. I understand it. I've lived through it. You know, I'm the guy who didn't want to preach in the first place because of it. But when I kept hanging around Jesus, when I kept going to his presence, I learned to worship God and go in his presence. And he had me to fill my heart with his word. And then when I go in his presence, he could talk to me. I had stamina to listen. I had stamina to receive more. Stamina is strength. Just like when Daniel was in the presence of the holy angels, and he kept collapsing, just like we do in church when the Holy Spirit is walking through the aisles. We fall out. Well, the angel came to talk to Daniel. He needed to be coherent. Daniel couldn't be coherent. He asked the question, how can I talk to you? How can I be coherent? And I keep collapsing. And then the angel that looked like a man touched him and imparted strength to him. Well, the word of God will impart strength to you so you can hear God and get a firm grip on what he's saying. Sometimes the Lord is talking. He's cluing you in. He's giving you information that you need. And the enemy is trying to cause you to forget it. And I've had God to tell me things, then I turn around and forget it. It's like somebody stole it from me. And I have to ask the Lord to give it back. And I have to want it enough to grab it spiritually. And when you you can remove all forms of interference. That's one of the main reasons God gave us authority. We don't have to live with satanic interference anymore. We have to receive God's word at all costs. If we receive his word, we'll have everything we need to stand. And see, the Lord is going to back us up. As long as you're in faith, as long as you're doing his will, your obedience to God, it's the foundation of your authority. Jesus gave you the authority, but it'll operate when you're obedient to God. The Old Testament saints, their authority only worked by obedience. As long as they obeyed God, there was nothing Satan could do with them. These are Old Testament, Old Covenant people of God. Everything they did for God was on credit until Christ died for them. And they had that blessed hope, so they used the blessed hope to overcome the enemy. Now we have the blessed hope. We have authority. Jesus gave it to us right out of his mouth. We can say in the name of Jesus at our will. But we're still required to be in agreement with God, to be in obedience. When you're in the bubble of obedience, there's nothing Satan can do to stop you. You will stop him as long as you have faith. And where do we get the faith from? The word of God. Now, then there are those who get past that stage. They've driven out the stones. Their heart is soft. But they have thorns in their heart. They're greedy or lustful. And they worry about things of this life. You don't have to. As a Christian, if we're able to walk in the enemy's camp and take over, we're well able to live a godly life. We can live without distraction. We don't have to let the enemy stop what we're doing. You can stop him at your will. And it's very important that you do so. You can change your desires all around. If you have to have everything you see, become a giver. Start praying for other people and blessing people. If people that hoard, see, hoarding is, that's worse. That's not saving. Saving is, the difference between hoarding and saving. Saving has a purpose. But hoarding is it causes people to have confidence in possessions. What's a better way of putting it? It's almost idolatry. You believe that you're fearing poverty, and you feel like you have to collect all this stuff so that you won't be poor. In other words, rich people can be that way too. They can have so much greed that they want more. They're running out the power. They left us the waters that go softer. They forgot about how to live. And all their focus is on getting more. They want the power. To them, they can't be satisfied with the things that make life go. They can't enjoy their families. They can't enjoy the everyday deeds and the people in their lives. They are always trying, they're on a mad quest to get more. And it's a problem. Now, most people are not rich, but they can still have the very same problem. And if you fear something, Satan is attached. That's like handcuffing yourself to Satan if you're in fear. You have to get rid of that. If these things get in your heart, you'll be motivated wrong. The heart is where your will is formed. And you need your will to be of God. You need your will to match His will. That's why when we follow God, we can learn things on from a greater measure. See, the way we measure the word, it'll be measured to you. Well, the way you measure, the more you see Him, you're automatically measuring the word in a greater way. And my pastor said this years ago. Out to church one night, he said, when you study the word, demons fall off your life. They don't have anything to attach to. The fiery darts can't stick. When you are full of the word of God, you know what's right, you know what's wrong. You know what's right with what's right and what's wrong with what's wrong in fine detail and in greater measure as you learn. So the more God's word gets in us, the easier it is to cooperate and be in agreement with Him. Sometimes people will cooperate with God, but they're not fully persuaded. They're not in full agreement. Sometimes we don't know the fullness of God's plan, and we think it's going to go a certain way, and that can be interference in what God is doing. You have to relax. It's not on you to come up with a plan. If God revealed a plan, do the plan. Have faith in the plan and do it. Have faith in what God gave you to do. Have faith in God who gave it. Watch Him. Put away the interference and focus on Jesus. Even though you can see all the things going on around you, you have to focus on Him. I put it this way. As I follow God, I know I'm on to something and it's good. And it's going to... Some of the things God wants us to do can take a lifetime to fulfill. And I learned that from my pastors. You don't have to. I used to feel like I had to do something today. I had to hurry up and do it today. Some things are going to take time. The good thing is, it's working. And as you act on it every day, don't focus on the whole picture. Focus on what can I do today. The Lord taught me something years ago. You know, I've learned so many things over time. If you want to make great changes in your life, make small changes in what you do every day. You don't have to quit your job and just study the Bible till you know it all. Every day, pick a scripture and meditate on it and go to work, and work is under God. Every day, while you're doing whatever it is you do, start your day by a prayer, by praying, asking the Lord to cover your life that day. Ask Him whatever concerns you. Ask Him for help. And ask him what scripture will bless me today. And study the scripture. And do like I did. Study some chapters. Now, He gave me a prescription of 15 chapters a day. Ask Him. Go take that to the Lord. Lord, how many chapters should I study in a day's time? And do what He tells you to do. Now, what happened to me when I studied 15 chapters a day? After 3 months, the word got in my heart and I began to have stamina in the presence of God. And I was able to ask Him questions when I went in His presence. And He was able to answer me. And I said, Lord, don't go nowhere. Don't go nowhere. I got some more questions. And guess what? I drew near to Him. He didn't leave. He never left. I just wasn't aware of Him. He was always there. But now I had the ability to ask questions and He'd answer me. At first I felt like it's too good to be true. And I was getting answers that don't come from my brain. And it had three things in common. It was love, it was pure, and it was wise. And I still had to go and read the word. I didn't stop reading the word. If something works, keep doing it. I do it on a greater, differently now. I study the word all day while I'm working. Now, I work on cars, so when I'm working on cars, I have to concentrate. But I have the word playing. And when I don't have to concentrate, I can just receive the word. When I have to concentrate, my spirit man is still receiving the word. Then I just rewind it and listen to it some more. And I've listened to the same scriptures over and over, and I see something new all the time. You don't have a problem that God can't fix. The only thing that God is limited on is the will of man. So when it comes to, he taught me this, when it comes to a person's will, that's where we get off the bus. People have to decide their own course. You can't decide their courses for them. I don't care who it is, wife, children, but you have covenant rights. You can pray for them. You can love them, according to 1 Peter. And they may fall in love with God like you. They may fall in love with God and at least get in covenant with Him. Some people are not going to go all out and do all that's in God's heart. They're just going to get in covenant with Him and live the best they can. But everybody got to have enough word to stand because of what's coming. There's an attack coming that's going to be so bad. The Lord is telling me that only the people who have His word in His heart will stand. People that don't have His word in their heart, they're going to fall away and join the enemy. That's what they're going to do. That's why you have to have the word in you. And, people that don't have the word, they won't stand. They won't be strong. He said it again with the ten virgins. The five were wise, five were foolish. The foolish ones ran out of oil. And when the Lord came, He couldn't take them with Him. Understand, Jesus came to save us. It's His will that we're saved. He wants to forgive us of our sin. All that is true. But He cannot take sin to heaven. So everybody that's attached to sin, He got to leave them here. We have to drive sin out of our lives. That's it. And we have to be strong so that nothing can cause us to yield. Satan is going to try to get you to disagree with God, agree with Him, and change your mind. The Lord is talking to us to help us understand the whole picture. The only way to get enough of the whole picture to act on it is study what Jesus said and study what the apostles wrote. All the challenges of the day, the apostles dealt with. Their biggest challenge besides Satan was the Jews trying to get people to go back to the rudiments of the law and leave grace. See, Satan tries to get us off course any way he can. If you know the Lord, if things are successful and things are going forward and you have an easier time prospering than you used to, then he's going to try to tempt you with pride. If he can change your focus, he can change everything. But pride causes people to be hardened, the opposite of who God is. Every time people get pride in their mind, they start changing. But when they get pride in their heart, I'm going to study the word and see if anybody had pride in their heart and then came back. I don't think they have. Once they get in the heart, they usually do like Saul did. He died trying to save face, begging an Amalekite of all people to kill him. That tells me he was more concerned about how he looked than the perfect will of God. He saw the witch, trying to get to Samuel when God wouldn't talk to him. He didn't repent. He should have repented and stopped chasing David and started doing, well, Lord, you fired me, but show me what to do. I'm sorry for what I did. He didn't do that. He tried to kill the man that was going to be a blessing to Israel. He killed the 50 priests, had his men kill all those priests. That's what pride will do. Now, even today, when people get in pride, they murder people that are upcoming. They don't take their whole life, but they slander their life. And slander is no different than murder. And see, the Lord had, you know, when people get in pride, they become witchy. That's the best way I can put it. They become like a witch. But when we live in agreement with the living love of God, we don't excuse ourselves to be witchy. We don't excuse ourselves to be in disagreement with God. We fix the problems. Why can't I follow God? We fix it. We cry out to the Lord until we get it right. We live a pure life. We live the life God gave us to live. And we don't do it in our strength. We don't do these things, these wonderful things, in our strength. We do it in His strength. When you receive the word and live from the positions of the word, you're living in His strength. And see, when you drive out the thing, if you have a problem with greed, you can give to others and pray for others and be a blessing to other people and help other people do what they're supposed to do. See, as we obey Him, we grow and we rise above the snake line. You know, we rise above the troubles are all around us, but it's like we're not part of it. We learn to live beyond what satanic activity. You know, on a mountain, snakes only go so far. Then as the mountaineers, they put a line where snakes don't cross. The elevation's too high. Well, when we live according to God's word, we live above the snake line, in the sight of everybody. No matter how people would try things. You know, they'll put magazines in your lockers to see what you'll do. I've seen guys act that way. People will try, but you live far above the snake line, and whatever they do means nothing because you're focused on the Lord. Again, if a person has a problem with greed or lust or pride, you have to do the counter against it to drive it out. If you're in pride and it bothers you or you envy people, if those temptations come and they bother you, time Satan do it. Pray for the people that he's trying to get you to be envious of and say 10 good things about them. And that's how you pass that test. Then if they have trouble giving, then find people that need help and help them. And you'll learn to have the joy of the Lord. And you'll operate according to the measures of heaven. In other words, you learn to give and heaven's going to back you. See, sometimes people don't know that heaven will back you. There are people out there tithe and they give great testimonies about tithing. But guess what? Their heart is pure towards the Lord. They love God. They work as unto God. And they joyfully give when they tithe and when they give tithes and offerings. And they do it with joy, and God always bless them. Their cars last longer. They make better decisions. And they're faithful with what God give them, and they end up much better off. And then there are those who tithe and say it's not working for them. But if you follow them around, you know, they have other stripes in their life. They don't work as under God. They're mad at their boss. It's a lot of things to go with it. They're not looking at the greater picture. The needs of God is where our prosperity is. If you fulfill God's work, Jesus said, buy of me gold. He's going to back you. You're going to get it back. It may leave your hand, but not your life. And people don't know that because they're going by the Philistine thoughts that they have. Instead of driving those Philistines out, they don't want to leave. You got to drive them out. And they're going to rise up and be a problem later on. If you don't want to be witchy, if you want to live free from pride, lust, and greed, that's the world system all by itself. You know, to counter lust, you love people. The people that they have a soul and a spirit. They're judged. They're going to hell unless they get saved. We got to love their soul. And we have to look at people as brothers and sisters, not objects. You know, I like what God gave Steve Quayle. He said, lust is the appetite of demons on humans. As beautiful as we are, as God made us, we're not designed to cause people to lust after us. That's an appetite of Satan. That came with the fall. That came from satanic influence. But if you drive it out, you can see people differently. You know, medical people see naked people all the time. And they know what people look like. They don't make a big deal out of it. If when you have the love of God in you, you have that ability. Sometimes people, it's untapped. People don't, they think they got to go by the way of the world. The world is crazy. All of it. And if you decide, when I didn't know things, I asked the Lord and he taught me things. And when his word got in my heart, I began to see the big picture and I could walk with it. I learned to love people. I learned to drive fear out of my life. And the more I drove fear out of life, the more stable I became. That's why we have to have the good heart. A good and honest heart. When I go in God's presence, I'm honest. I'm totally honest with him. I don't try to save face. I don't try to look good. I say, Lord, I need your help. And he always comes through. Now, I think.